Wonderful day in the Lord. Listen to this beautiful song.
Before we sing this song, I want to add to that. You've got a great pastor. I love him dearly. He even officiated my mom's funeral. But the sweetest blessing I got, Brother Victor, is when God was dealing with you and you needed to get to announce your calling to preach. Church, he liked to wore this altar out, but we didn't mind. We just prayed with him every service. And God gave the increase. That's what I liked about it. Just praise him for what he's done through Brother Victor.
So that's what she's doing up here. She's changing chords on it.
Yeah.
Praise God, I'm free.
Bye.
on that one. That's all right. And pray again. And it talks about some friends and loved ones over there. That just reminds me when I look right here today. I started reminiscing over the past. And, oh, my goodness, the beautiful singing and traveling. And there's just so many things that have went on. But God has made us free. Thank you, Brother Victor, and the church for having us. And thank, well, Sarah. I started calling you Sharon for some reason. But Sarah, for all the effort you've put into getting everything organized for us, appreciate that so much. Love you. May God of heaven bless you. And as we give away to your pastor and my friend, Brother Victor Burkhart, don't you ever forget, you walk with God, and God will walk with you.
Amen.
Oh, we love you, brother.
Amen. Wonderful. Be in a house of God this morning. And we're so thankful that Brother Art and Sister Carolyn and the family come over. I was thinking about Brother Art last night and with anticipation of the service this morning. And we're going to be in the book of Acts, if you got your Bibles. Acts chapter 3. But before we get there, they certainly give us a lot of roses when they were up here. They are certainly do a lot as well. And Brother Art was very instrumental in my life. And I was telling Mary, I said, I remember all the times that Brother Art, as he was pastor here, as already been said, I announced my calling to preach while he was pastor here. He was pastor here when I was ordained, and never once on any occasion did I ever sense Brother Art to have a bit of jealousy in his heart for any preacher that was in the church. We had several that were in the church at the time, and I was always amazed looking back at the opportunity that he was able to give each and every one. And I'm thankful for the opportunity he gave me as a young preacher. And I've tried to use that and pattern my ministry as far as being pastor when there's preachers in the church to give opportunity to young preachers. And so I thank him greatly for that. It was a true blessing to be under him and under his leadership. And I certainly love Brother Art and Sister Carolyn with all our heart. We got Acts chapter 3, and if you turn your Bibles over there, praise God for the songs that were sung. Over and over, again and again. I mean, that's just how God blesses. And we're going to preach out of this portion of Scripture this morning by the help of the Lord. We know we can't do anything without God's help. We often say we can't sing without God's help, can't preach, can't pray. But the Bible says here in Acts chapter 3, starting verse 1, says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." And you can be seated this morning. And we have preached out of this scripture in the past, and no doubt you've heard it, you've read it, and you understand what was going on here. As we look at this portion, we know that Peter and John, this was after they had received the Holy Ghost, and we know that it was after that that it fell, and Peter had given his first message that was ever preached in the power and the demonstration of God, where 3,000 souls were saved, that Peter and John found themselves here coming into the temple that was in Jerusalem. Also, as we look at this scripture, you have to wonder sometimes. We know that this certain man that is mentioned here was lame from his mother's womb. We also know, according to Acts chapter 3, that this was not the first time that they had ever brought this man to the place and set him there to beg alms. We can take from the scripture that it was often that they would bring him there to ask alms of whoever it was going into the temple, probably supposing that those that would go into the temple had enough charity in their heart that they would give him something to help him for another day. But as we look at this man, we find that no matter what he was given on a particular day, he found himself there the very next day. So as we look at what his expectations were for the time that Peter and John were entering into the temple, we find that his expectations were for probably some temporary relief. As we think about some of these things this morning, I'm reminded how often it is that our world today is looking around him and they are seeking for help and they are seeking for relief. But they are looking and they're expecting it out of all the wrong places. For we find that no matter how many days this man laid here and how many times that someone slipped him a coin in his hand, that it was only enough to get him by for so long. I want you to know something this morning. If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, what you will find in the world will only do you so far. It will not satisfy, those things that need satisfied in your life. So as we begin to see what happened on this occasion, here come Peter and John. Some might wonder why they found themselves walking into the temple. After all, Jesus had already risen from the grave. He had already appeared unto them. They had already received the Holy Ghost. But I'm reminded that as many times in the years that Christ was here, that Jesus often found himself in the temple. No wonder Peter and John were making their way to the house of God on the Sabbath day. When all those people were going about their own expectations, here this lame man was, probably, and I've preached it like this before, maybe too ashamed to look up and see who it was that was walking by, that he might receive something of them, that Peter simply stopped with John and said, "Hey, just look at us." In other words, I don't have what you are expecting, but what I have is far better than what you have ever received in the past. I'm reminded, and I can just see how Peter reached down and took him by the hand and just lifted him up and said, "Hey, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." What a great blessing the man received that day. Never again would he ever sit by the temple gate called Beautiful and beg for something for his life, because what Peter and John showed that man today fulfilled every expectation, every need, every supply that he ever had in his life. I'm glad today that Jesus Christ will still fill the needs of our people. And listen, the problem I thought today is people are expecting things out of this world that cannot satisfy them. And I guess it's no wonder. As I sat and studied this morning and I thought about what is in this world. You know, the Bible teaches us that this world is temporal. Everything around us is temporal. So we are living in a temporary world. We are living in a temporary place. And if you'll have it today, each and every one of us that are here this morning in our flesh, the flesh that we are abiding in, it's temporary also. So how in the world can we be temporal beings in this carnal body look to a temporal world to expect something that is supernatural that can help us with all of our spiritual needs? Listen, I have found that the same case to be true in this verse, in this scripture, Acts chapter 3, is still true today. The needs are eternal help. Our expectations do not need to be in the things that are temporal or temporary. When folks finally realize that they can put their expectations in something far better, something that is eternal, it's only then that you'll receive the help that you really need in life. You all get where I'm going with this? I think about our society today, and we can go in the book and I believe that everything in this Bible, everything in the gospel ought to be preached, it's worthy to be preached. We don't have to go out into the world and look for messages coming from the mind of man, but we can just seek the counsel of God, and the Spirit of the Lord will send us what we need. But I'm reminded in our land today, listen, some of our leaders and politicians in our world, when tragedy happens, we've got some that will stand up and say, well, we need to pray for our loved ones. It's gotten so bad in our society that folks will get up on the news and say, your prayers don't mean anything. Your prayers don't help anything. God have mercy on their soul. Prayer is the most powerful tool that we have in our arsenal. Hey, listen, we ought to get it out more than we do. We ought to seek God's face. We ought to seek God's counsel. We ought to seek God's wisdom for our life. Hey, listen, without prayer, where would any of us be right now? And so what it was is these two men were coming into the temple there that day. And listen, Peter knew and John knew. After all, they had just walked with Christ for over 3 years. They had watched his miracles. They had seen him perform all the things that he had performed. And they had received of God the power of the Holy Ghost that come upon them. And after all, it was just in a chapter over, I believe it was, where Peter had stepped out and those 3,000 souls got saved. And listen, you don't think those men had the power of God in their heart? You don't think they were overjoyed above and beyond again and again and over and over? Hey, listen, they were just walking on the clouds with God. How good it is when God's people can forget about the cares of this life and walk on the clouds with God. Hey, listen, it don't matter who you come in contact with. And don't let the devil ever tell you that you have no effect on anybody, because according to the scripture, Peter and John had an effect on a man that day that had been brought to that temple. Hey, listen, sat at that gate probably every day of his life from the time he reached an age where folks could carry him there. That's where he was. But on this day, there were two men called, hey, listen, they not called them Christians yet, but they were children of God come walking into the temple. Hey, listen, they had an effect on that man. God will have an effect in your life. And you can have an effect on people. There's people right in this church that had an effect on us when we were lost. There's people in your life that had an effect on you when you were lost. And as Sister Carolyn said, hey, listen, and she mentioned already that that I officiated her mom's funeral. And I remember Sister Sullivan and what a blessing she was. And she had an effect on my life. And I look around and we can look on the board out there in the foyer and we can look at the names of all the loved ones that have passed on. And there's many on that list that were here. Hey, listen, when I was younger, and I remember them plainly, and they had an effect on my life. Hey, listen, I want you to know this today. When you seek and have the expectation of God in your life, you'll be amazed at how many people you affect in your life. I hope you affect your children. I hope you have an effect on your grandchildren. I hope you have an effect on your great-grandchildren. And I hope when they look at mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or great-grandma or great-grandpa, hey, listen, they see God all over you. What a blessing it is. We can leave this life, hey, listen, having our expectations in the things of this world. But there's nothing better than having your expectations in God and walking out of here and separating from this life and having loved ones gather around the casket and talk about what an effect you had and where your expectations were, and to know that even though you might be laying there, that's not the end of it, because my expectations do not stop with this world. I don't stop in the grave. Hey, listen, my expectations are right on into heaven's gates today. Where are your expectations? Hey, listen, that's really the message that I had, the thought that we had this morning, is where are your expectations right now? Because we're living in a society that wants you to, hey, listen, they're desiring you to look to man, look to Washington, look over here, look everywhere, but look to heaven. But I found in the scripture to be true, and I found in the lives of God's children to be true. Hey, listen, when we need help, I don't look to anybody. I know where to go. The psalmist David said, I look. Hey, listen, I look up. I believe it was Abraham. He looked up. Hey, listen, Moses looked up. Elijah looked up. Hey, listen, these men looked up. And if they looked up and found God, how beneficial it
is for you and I to look up and find God also. Because God is still on the throne, thank the Lord today. He still sits high and lifted up, and He knows each and every one of us. I'm reminded in the book of Jeremiah, in the 29th chapter, I believe it was, the Lord said, I know my thoughts towards you. Thoughts of peace. Don't you know that God knows, and He is going to give us an expected end? Hey, listen, there is no debate on what's going to happen at the end of this life, at the end of this world. There is no debate on how things are going to go about, because the Lord has already arranged them all. He already knows them all, and my expectations are in God. I'm not going to leave here and wonder where I'm going to wake up. I know where I'm going to wake up. Oh, listen, James said in the book of Acts, in the 15th chapter, I believe it is, he said, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. I preached last Sunday about your appointment with God. Amen. We're all going to have an appointment with God. We all do. And we know that it's going to happen, and there's no escaping it. And really, I want to get back to the expectations, because while I was looking at these things, I'm reminded, and I wrote, and the Lord put some things in our heart. But we talked about the things temporal and the things eternal. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, what Paul was telling him is you don't look around at things you can observe. He said, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we've got advice from a man who was once, as we have often labeled, he was once a Christian hater. He was a thug. Hey, listen, that's what Paul was. He was a murderer. And he was looking to the church. He would look to the temporal things. He would look to the synagogue. He would look to the law. He would look to the things that could be felt and observed and seen and try to do the will of God. But on the road to Damascus, the Lord showed him it's not the things that you can see. It's the things that you can't see. Hey, listen, all of a sudden Paul said, hey, the things that I was holding on to, they don't mean anything to me anymore. I don't love them. I don't desire them, but I just love the things of God. Hey, listen, and when he took his eyes off the things of the world, and he put his eyes on the things of God, then he started to live. Then he started to understand. I'm amazed sometimes at how we can go in our society, in our world, and how blind people seem to be, how spiritually ignorant folks are. And I'm not trying to be derogatory, but I'm just simply telling you, hey, listen, that we've got a book. We've got the Word of God. Hey, listen, we've got the power of God. We've got the love of Christ. We've got the life of Christ. We've got the Spirit of God. That abides in man, that walks with us and guides us and steers us. But yet we live in a society that's seemingly completely blind and ignorant to the things of God. Have mercy on our world today. It's only by His grace that we're still here. And it's only by His love that His compassion is still among us, and there's still help in the time of need. Hey, listen, there's a whole world just like the lame man sitting by the way that needs help in their life. And so really, as we look at what the expectation of the lame man was, his expectation was to receive something from these men that would help him. It was to receive a benefit that was going to be given today, pass away tomorrow. But the benefits of God last forever. And so, as we think about the lame man there, what his expectation was to receive on that day, my attention and our hearts go to Peter and John. What was their expectation? We could say, well, they expected to help him. They did. I believe they did. But they knew that what they had couldn't help him in what he really needed. So their expectation, and I'm going to get somewhere with this, you bear with me. Their expectation for that man that day was for God to heal him through the name of Christ Jesus. They sung a song. And there's another verse in another song about the name of Jesus. The power in His name. I believe it is the song that Brother Gene Smith wrote, When I Remember Who I Am. It says, this world, they don't understand it. The power that I have through Jesus' name. They try to tell you that it means nothing. Hey, listen, but they don't know the power.
That's right.
But we do know the power.
Amen.
Because we have felt the power
That's
in our heart.
Right.
We have received the power of God through the Holy Ghost. And when Peter and John come walking in the temple that day, their expectation was for God to move down on that man and touch that man and heal that man and help that man. You might say they should not have had those kind of expectations. I'm going to tell you this. We are temporal beings. I already said that. We are carnally minded and we know that. And sometimes we put limits on the things that God can do. But let me remind you, we are serving a limitless God. We are serving a God that can do everything. Hey, listen, I'm talking about speaking words and making universes. I'm talking about moving heaven. I'm talking about shaking mountains. I'm talking about the power of His voice that can bring the rocks down. Hey, listen, I'm talking about a God who knows no boundaries. There is no beginning. There is no ending. He is absolutely eternal and with all power and all authority. No wonder Peter and John had the confidence that God could touch the lame man. Sometimes we get down and we pray for our loved ones and we'll pray, God, I need you to heal them. And then we get up and say, boy, they're in a bad shape. I don't know if there's any hope for them at all. We limit God. And in our expectations, and I've often said, and you've heard me preach it before, and over at Olive Branch, when I started over there, I preached a message similar to this. And I preached it several years, many times over the years. But we bring in cup, thimble, and say, God, fill it. Fill my cup. How about fill my barrel? How about God? How about getting our expectations bigger? How about expecting more? Because I find it as much as you limit God, that's where you're going to be limited. When you think that God can't do something, you've got doubt. And your doubt's going to hinder how God moves in your life. Because you're not trusting Him. But God said, pray without doubt. Did He not? We ought to expect some big things from God. Hey, I'm not talking, don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those guys that is preaching a prosperity doctrine telling you if you put a little money in here, God's going to bless you in a great deal monetarily. He might not. Hey, listen, that's up to God. But what I'm telling you, I'm not looking for the temporal things. I want God to give me the spiritual things. The spiritual things are far better than anything in this world. Hey, and don't get me wrong, God's given you a house to live in. You ought to thank Him for that. God's given you a job to work. You ought to thank Him for that. God's blessed you in your life, given you a good spouse, blessed your home. You ought to thank Him for that. Every good thing comes from above. I believe that. Where's your expectations? Expectations in life. I expect God. I've dedicated my children to Him. Mary and I, when they were born, we brought them up to the altar. We had them in church. We prayed over them and asked the church to pray with us. Dedicated them. I expected God to save my children. I expected God to keep my house. I expected God to bless my house. I expected God to provide for me in this life. And how He provides is strictly up to Him. But whatever He does, I'm thankful for that. I expect God to walk with me through this world. You say you shouldn't expect that. Jesus promised it. And if Jesus promised it, I expect it. I expect Him to go with me through the valleys. I expect Him to pick me up and set me on the mountains. I expect Him to meet me in His house when I come. I expect to feel His presence whenever we get. I expect these things from God. And when you stop expecting these things from God, you're in trouble. Because my expectations in God are the only things that keep me from the snares of this world. To know that He's got a hedge around me. To know and realize that there are enemies, listen, of God that desire to destroy His children. but to also know that Jesus said, I have prayed for you, and I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. And you say, oh, God don't care about you that much. Well, I'm reminded of a few things. When they were singing a song about rejoicing, and they were singing about how God is there. Hey, listen, I'm reminded of a man who no one called him by name, but he sat on the outskirts at Gadara. But all of a sudden, Jesus got off of a boat one day, and he asked him what his name was, and he said, they call me Legion. Because he was so possessed. But I want you to know that my God didn't have any fear. And listen, when everyone else had written him off because there was no hope for him. And listen, God brought a better expectation for his life. And when it was all said and done, he was clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. What better place to find yourself than at the feet of Jesus? Where's your expectations? My expectations are that he's going to be accessible, that I can be found at his feet. And those are my expectations in life. What about your expectations in death? I've talked to people that think of death as just going to sleep and that's it. So it don't mean anything. I won't know. You're wrong. That's a lie. My expectations in death are greater than my expectations in life. Because I know that he's walking with me here. But when death finally comes, my expectations in death is I'm not going to die alone. Hey, listen, and I've said this before. My wife is my dearest friend. And hey, listen, I love to spend time with no one other than my wife. She is the closest friend that I have. And God has blessed our relationship to that in that regard. But I realize and understand that there will come a time, Brother Art, when one of us will lay down. Hey, listen, and as much as we love each other, hey, listen, we're going to be separated in death. But I will not die alone because I've got a Savior that loves me and saved me. Listen, and he'll be there walking with me. He'll take me by the hand. He'll put his arms around me and he'll walk me right into glory land. My expectations in death are far greater than what my expectations in life are. And as good as he is in life, he's going to be so much better in death. As good of a friend as he is on this side of Jordan, he's much better over on the other side. You might say, well, how is it? Because I'm going to see him face to face. I don't know what we shall be, the Bible says, but I know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Hey, listen, this old body, I'm going to lay it down. I'll put on a glorified body, one likened unto his. Hey, listen, and death won't be able to touch it. Sickness won't be able to touch it. Illness won't be able to touch it. I'll never grow old. We'll never age. And on the other side, hey, listen, eternity and heaven's going to be wonderful, folks. And that's my expectation. And I'll say this, because before I got saved, I heard about heaven, but I really wasn't quite sure because I didn't have the assurance of it. But when I got born again, I got an assurance of heaven. When I got born again, I got something put inside of me. Now I'm sealed to the day of redemption. Hey, listen, and I know that Brother James will probably jump out of his pew, but when I got saved, I got that white stone that was, listen, handed to me, and God wrote my name down. Thank God, and it's forever recorded in glory. And someday I'll be there face to face. Job, I believe it was, he said, I'll see him for myself and not another. I'll see him face to face. I'll not have to look through an eye of faith anymore. I'll see him for myself. Thank God. But if you're lost, and we've said this before, if you're lost, what you have here, what you have right now, and the trouble that you are in every day, and the turmoil that you feel in times of problems in your life, and the things that stir you and bother you when you hear, when things don't go your way, and you might look at it and say, things just never go my way, and you can talk about how you might have good times on occasion, you might have those bad times. I want you to know this. If you don't have an expectation in God, what you have right now is as good as it's ever going to get for you. It's only going to get worse from here. And in death, it's going to get worse. Because the Bible is plain, as good as as much as the scripture tells us about heaven and we preach about heaven, sing about heaven, I could sing, there's a song that says I could sing about heaven for a million years and never get the story told. The Bible is also very plain about hell. The Bible is also very plain about the end. The Bible is also very plain about what happens to Satan and all of those that denied God. It is also very plain about what the Lord does as He binds them up and casts them out into a lake of fire. Forever, ever to be separated from God. Jesus said it was a bottomless pit where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. It is a place where there are no friends. It is a place where there is no light. It is a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is a terrible, terrible place. And no one expects to go to hell. But even though they don't expect to go there, there are people there. Why? Because they didn't put their expectations in Christ. It's not hard to escape hell.
Amen.
God made a way.
Yeah.
In fact, as we preached it over and over, hell was not made for you and I. Never was. Hell was never intended for the soul of man. Ever. Ever was hell intended for the soul of man. Scripture says that hell enlarges itself. I preach it at funerals like this. Hell gets bigger one soul at a time. God didn't make it big enough for man. It expands one soul at a time. But heaven don't need to expand. God made it big enough for all of us. And it's only by man's unwillingness to look to God that they don't go to heaven. What are your expectations? You're going to be like that beggar seeking things all your life from the world. And I will say this, because I believe in your life that God will send someone by your way like a Peter and a John that would be there to help, to be there to witness so that you could see there's a difference. He did in my life. I saw a difference in people. I knew there was a difference in how I lived and how those people in church live. Listen, a hair on my neck would stand up when somebody would shout from behind me or even in front of me. And they would rejoice and I couldn't rejoice. I would hear the songs. I liked the songs. But I couldn't really get into the songs because it wasn't deep inside.
Amen.
But when the Spirit finally, when I finally got born again, and I felt the power and the presence of God coming inside my heart, not just knocking at my heart, then I could rejoice. My expectations were no longer the things of the world. My expectations were in God. So where are yours? I hope and pray that if you're lost, listen, you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I expect this and I expect that. Number one, and I'll say this before, when I was on the altar, and those of you that are saved, you know exactly where I'm coming from. When I came to this altar, I didn't know if God was going to save me or kill me. It was all up to Him. It was in God's hands. I wasn't really expecting any. I didn't know what to expect. I knew that the message said come. I knew that the Spirit was bidden come. I knew that, hey listen, that there was a drawing power pulling me to an altar.
Amen.
Pulling me to a place to repent.
That's right.
But what happened from there, I didn't understand what was going to happen. I didn't really have any expectation. I didn't know what was going to happen. You want to know why? Because I'd never been there before. And we were all in that shape. But you remember when you got there? And you finally just handed it all over. What was that? That was just like the lame man reaching up. And Peter reaching down and grabbing him. That man didn't know what Peter was going to do. How could he? He didn't know Peter was going to jerk him up on his feet. He didn't know the power of God was going to strengthen his ankles and knees. He didn't know he was going to go walking and leaping and jumping and rejoicing God into the temple that day. But just in a split second, he was on his feet.
Amen.
He was praising God. He was rejoicing. He was doing something he'd never done before. Isn't that how it was when we got saved? In a moment of a twinkling of an eye. Hey, listen, we were off the altar. We had a smile on our face. We weren't lost anymore. We were rejoicing in God. And our expectations changed. Our eyes went off of the things of the world. And our hearts got towards God. And that's where my expectations are today. And that's where the expectations of God's children are today. This world's temporary. We know that. I know that. The Bible assures me of that. But the place I'm going is eternal.
Amen.
And I know where I'm headed. And if you have a doubt in your heart or a doubt in your life of where you're going, I would say get on this altar and get your expectations in God and get your eyes off of the world, because the world don't have anything for you. What they'll give you today will pass away tomorrow. But what God gives you today will take you into eternity. God bless your heart. We're going to ask, Brother Art, you guys want to come and sing, brother? Maybe a verse of invitation. We're going to step down here in the front. While we stand to our feet, if they get up here and sing, you're not going to interrupt me. You're not going to interrupt them. If God's dealing with your heart, you need to get on this altar right now. This is the most important thing you'll ever do in your life.
Amen. Is to come and do business with God. I mean, I've heard it said like that. Some people might not like it. But really, what it is you just come to the Lord and ask, you need help. You need to touch, you need to save, you need to redeem, you need to change your expectations, get them off the world. Put your life in God's hands. I'm reminded of another place in the Bible. There was a woman, her expectations were all the positions. According to the scripture, she had spent all that she had. Every dime that she had to her name, she had spent it. For 12 years. Right now, while they say, you can come right now.